We're really trying to give agency ethics officials the takeaway that the Office of Government Ethics is here to support them, that they're not alone, and that, in fact, we can help coordinate the support of a larger ethics community for them. In that respect, this is also really a professional development activity for the agency ethics officials. And by the end of today, we'll have put on 108 individual sessions for 125 hours of live training, most of which has been live in person. About 10 of the sessions were virtual only, meaning we broadcast them out of our offices in Washington. So we're really trying to reach a broad swath of the ethics community. We're also trying to be as transparent as possible by, as I said, live streaming it so the public can get a window into our work and know that there are systems in place to protect the integrity of government. That's been a big theme for us, is just really trying to open up and put more documents and more information on the website so that people are aware of the ethics program and know that we're here trying to protect the government's integrity and support public confidence in government.
A lot of the training, a lot of the seminars are focused on what?
So the theme this year is a little broad in a sense. It's strengthening the ethics community. And with that, we really are doing a lot of sort of the general training. We've tried to range from basic to advanced training. We've also really tried to be inclusive of the broader sense of ethics, not merely the specific rules that OGE oversees, but also other things that ethics officials get brought into in the many roles they serve in their agencies. So we've included other topics such as whistleblower retaliation, prohibitions on political activity under the Hatch Act, coordinating with inspector generals and human resources officials. And then there's a lot of meat and potatoes government ethics work.
Give me a sense of why you thought, as you're planning this and as it's been happening, that there's this been need to kind of say, hey, we're the Office of Government-Wide Ethics. We're here to help, if you will. We're here to support you.
So we really had two goals and two populations in mind in that sense. Our primary immediate target has been the government ethics officials. One of the things about the federal ethics program is that it's decentralized in a couple of ways. First of all, OGE does not have jurisdiction over the judicial branch or the legislative branch. They each have their own ethics offices, and we coordinate with them a lot, and we've brought them in to meet with us so that we can all try to benefit from each other's experiences. But even within the executive branch, it's decentralized. OGE has about 80 employee positions. But the executive branch ethics program has 5,500 ethics officials stationed at every one of the 130-plus federal agencies. And particularly for the ones at the small agencies, where they may be the only or one of only a couple ethics officials and they may wear many hats, it's hard for them to specialize in only ethics because they have to do so many things and really be generalists. And they don't have peers at their agency who do what they do to bounce things off of. And this work is hard. The ethics rules are not intuitive. I wish I could say they were based only in common sense. But the work that federal employees do is very complex and very broad-ranging. And so the rules have to be complex. As a result, you really need professional ethics officials who have not only training themselves, but access to others in the ethics community where they can bounce the ideas off of or say, have you ever handled this? Or am I in keeping with the overall ethical culture of the government if I give this advice? And the same is true even for the large agencies. While they may have a large ethics staff all together working, you want to make sure that we have some uniformity in the application of the ethics rules across the federal government, across the executive branch at least. And to that end, they don't want to operate in a vacuum. By bringing them together to really strengthen a community, we can make sure that they're doing the same thing at the Department of Defense that they're doing at the Department of Health and Human Services and at the Federal Communications Commission and elsewhere. And OGE can really serve that role of bringing those connections. So internal to the executive branch, that's our first target audience. More broadly, we're really targeting the general public. We want to be as transparent as possible. We've increased our work in social media on our website. I've been posting a blog that's written in plain English to the average reader. And we're really trying to raise the visibility of the ethics program so that, as I said, the public knows that there are systems in place to protect the integrity of government. The federal executive branch workforce is one of the most heavily regulated workforces in the world, and our ethics program is the gold standard internationally. And that comes from a lot of work as on the part of a lot of people. And even beyond the ethics officials, there's the inspector general officials we rely on to do the investigations for us. So it's really important to have a coherent community and to make that as visible to the public as possible.
I think people will appreciate the fact you're writing in plain English, because instead of lawyerese or whatever ethics officials write in, can you talk a little bit about some of the things you're hearing from the people who are attending the events over the last month or so, and how does that influence OGE's priorities, plans, the way you present ethics training or ethics rules, or how do you meet your mission?
Just to build some background, when I took over 20 months ago, I felt OGE needed to interact more with the ethics community and increase its focus on communicating with them, and that communication had to be two ways, so that we're listening to them. And when I say them, I mean we're listening to the ethics officials, but we're also listening to the stakeholders in the ethics program, which includes people outside the government, good government groups, the public, the media, people in Congress who are in another branch of government, and really taking input from all of these sources and trying to figure out how we can serve them better. We just had a presentation by one of our employees who conducts a lot of surveys of ethics officials. And we've been asking them questions about what areas they spend the most time working on. Recently, the data has been showing us they spend most of their time, or the largest chunk of their time, on advice and counseling, where they're meeting directly one-on-one with employees and consulting them and giving them advice on the types of activities they're going to participate in. We also find out that they spend a lot of time on financial disclosure. The financial disclosure process is incredibly complex. The laws, frankly, require more information than we need for our conflicts analysis, and so it's very burdensome for employees. But it's important for the employees to know that although it can be burdensome and admittedly it can ask for more information than we need, although that's statutory, so there isn't anything we can do to change it right now, we do use these financial disclosure forms as our primary tool for identifying conflicts of interest, preferably in advance so we can prevent problems and give them the guidance they need. And then, of course, it's required by law, so they have to fill them. But we find it's helpful if they understand that we really are using them for a meaningful purpose. The other thing we're hearing from ethics officials is that they want more and more training. We have a huge concern about succession planning in the government. You hear this in every area of government. More and more people are becoming eligible for retirement. The government was shrinking for a lot of years, and particularly when I came into government in the 90s, I was the only person my age in the office. I'm in my 40s now, and I find more people 20 years older and 15 years younger than me. And so a lot of them are retiring. There's going to be an enormous brain drain, and we need to fill those holes by training ethics officials so that the folks taking over have the expertise they need. That's, again, part of why we've done this summit. But since I took over, I made training a big priority as part of our goal of providing direct support to agencies. And in my first year, we increased training by 238%. And the feedback has been fantastic in terms of the positive responses about the quality of the training. But it's a fairly bottomless pit because people want more and we want to give them more. So we're trying to leverage technology to find more ways to reach out to people. One of the advantages of the live streaming of this conference is that the presentations that we've live streamed will be preserved on our webpage, where people can go and view them if they're a new ethics official and started in the government or in that job after this event. We hope to do more of that in the future. This was our first attempt at really live streaming a major event, but we've been live streaming other smaller presentations, and it's proven very successful, and we've worked very hard to make it interactive. We have the opportunity for audiences to email in or call in. So that's been a very positive area. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback, and as I said, we're just hearing an increasing demand for it as the population in the government changes.